Welcome to the Divided Kingdom. It's hard to believe it's already August 4th. I'm Luke Cavalli. My co-host, Elizabeth Cuppett Cavalli, and I are bringing you this cutting-edge news program. Apologies to you shortwave listeners, for on our last two July programs, our opening music and introductions were cut off. We feel certain that WWCR has corrected that glitch, so you'll be hearing me speak now. In case this bit of info was lost in those last July programs, be sure to visit the new network, KingdomStarRadio.com. See their schedule for a great talk radio that includes Pastor Butch Paul, Pastor Ernie Sanders, and many more. Also, anyone listening to Global Star may have heard a repeat of the July 21st program instead of the July 28th. If so, you can use a smartphone or a computer to go to our listening archives at our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com. That's DividedKingdomRadio.com. There you can bring up the correct July 28th vital program to listen to it.
And this is Elizabeth Cuppett Cavalli. And again, we thank you listeners who helped make the difference to keep us on the air for August on WWCR. And we do need continued help soon, Lou. We'll have to pay for the smartphone charge. That's 70-something. And there are other costs that we have. And we do thank that good Pennsylvania doctor. And he has had some prayers answered by all of you on his behalf by getting another shift at work. And we thank him again for some more stamps. I was down to the last three stamps, Lou. It was really getting tight. But he sent us some more stamps, and we're back in business. So we do need some help. If you can send some cash, any bit amount, any rather bit helps, any amount. And if you could send a check, they have to be made out to WWCR or Global Star Communications. Any help you can give us, the next week or two is going to be pretty tight. And we do need help because we are the only people basically carrying this program, except for a few of you who have just been wonderful to help keep us on the air. So if you would like to send something, some cash, a money order, or a check, send it to Lou Cavalli, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And again, that is Lou Cavalli at P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And now we know that many of you appreciate this program because there aren't any commercials that you have to be beleaguered with. So we're going to just jump right in tonight. We have some more outrageous summer shocks / secrets. And we start with some recent short news bulletins, yet ones that pack a pungent wallop.
We'll begin with one that is changing even as we speak. We thought at first this might be a rather humorous write-up, but now it's not so humorous.
Yes, you know, some of you of a certain age remember those old Nancy Drew mysteries, something about the clock. There were all kinds of things, all kinds of titles, but this kind of Nancy is not the same as that young heroine, solving all the mysteries. This mystery is deepening, isn't it?
It is deepening even as we speak, and even as we record this program, it may be changing. So this is the latest news we have that
the first headline? Let the listeners hear what we first saw.
Well, the headline says, China threatens to shoot down Pelosi's plane if she makes a stop in Taiwan. Now, Pelosi was going to Taiwan because, perhaps many reasons, but one big reason is that Taiwan has practically a world monopoly on the making of computer chips. And those are used for every kind of thing these days, automobiles. If the computer chip goes out, your car goes out.
You know, that's the hidden agenda of the New World Order. So many wars were fought in the Middle East over oil. So now the chip is just about as big a commodity, maybe bigger than oil at the moment.
Everything depends upon chips, everything from the electric companies to your automobile, trucks, tractors. Modern-day tractors aren't like the old ones.
Yeah, we've heard the health ranger, Mike Adams, always advising people to get those old, I think, 1990s tractors. We're still okay. And so if the grid goes down, they would still run. But now let's get back to Nancy.
That's right. So this was from the Gateway Pundit by Christina Layla, July 29th. Again, the headline said, China threatens to shoot down Pelosi's plane if she makes a stop in Taiwan. A Chinese Communist Party propagandist on Friday said House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's plane may be shot down if she makes a stop in Taiwan. Now, of course, now we know that didn't happen. Pelosi on Friday departed for Asia. However, a stop in Taiwan is still uncertain due to China's threats. Pelosi is bringing a delegation of fellow lawmakers on the visit. She has refused to answer reporters' inquiries about her plans, saying on Wednesday, and that would be Wednesday of last week, in response to a question about a potential Taiwan visit, "I never talk about my travel. It's a danger to me." Chinese President Xi Jinping warned China puppet Joe Biden over Taiwan during a phone call this week. Quote, "Those who play with fire will perish by it."
And now, next up is WorldNet Daily, July 14th. Mom believes she was poisoned by fentanyl by picking up dollar bill. This was Fox News. They had picked it up from Fox News. A Kentucky mother who was hospitalized after picking up a dollar spoke out Thursday as officials warn against the dangers of fentanyl-laced bills amid a surge of overdose deaths. Renee Parsons and her husband, Justin, joined Fox and Friends First to discuss what led up to the incident and why they believe some of their questions remain unanswered. Quote, "I felt this feeling over my body that it really started at my shoulders and started going down," Renee told co-host Carly Shimkus. "And it really became not necessarily hard to breathe because I was gasping for air, but hard to breathe because it was almost taking over my body, as in relaxing me so much I didn't necessarily care to breathe."
And now parents boycott Crayola for incorporating transgender propaganda into marketing of crayons and other children's products. Friday, July 29th, 2022, by Ethan Hoff at Natural News. If you are thinking about picking up a pack of crayons for your little one this upcoming school year, you might want to choose a different brand other than Crayola. That is because Crayola has gone woke with a new advertising campaign featuring a disabled transgender activist, Julian Gavino, a woman who self-identifies as a man. On both Facebook and Instagram, Crayola featured a disturbing series of photos depicting Gavino in various drag outfits, along with a beard and provocative pose on his wheelchair. In one of the photos, Gavino is seen wearing a chain-link bra on the outside of his, and his is in quotation marks, of his blazer, as well as black hooker boots and garish chandelier earrings. Keep in mind that Crayola's target audience is children and toddlers, ages 2 to 10. Also known as the disabled hippie, according to Crayola, Gavino's goal is to normalize, quote, "trans bodies in the fashion world," unquote, according to a linked bio. His sudden appearance in Crayola ads is to celebrate Disability Pride Month. And here we have a quote. Julian Gavino, also known as the disabled hippie, is a fashion model, writer, and activist who identifies as a transgender man, Crayola explained in an Instagram page. The quote goes on, "He was born with a progressive neurological condition. Julian is passionate about advocating for his respective communities," unquote, which apparently includes exposing himself to children in all sorts of bizarre outfits while artificially growing a beard.
And you know, Lou, we've seen how the LGBTQ agenda, the militant agenda, likes to hook it up with other more innocuous causes. For instance, the slavery and the abuse of the African-American community that was a real thing. That was kind of linked up with some of this because they were looking for gay rights, and they linked it with the oppression of the black people who couldn't even use the same water fountains as the white people. It's a no-brainer for people who realize that they're doing this. So in other words, they're pulling in the heartstrings because he's disabled, and then that should make the other iniquities that we see so militantly going after the children, harming them. We might get into the puberty-blocking drugs tonight. If not, next week we surely will. Well, now let's get back to more about Crayola. Following major backlash from parents, Crayola decided to drop Gavino from its social media pages. Quote, his creepy photos and more just disappeared one day in response to numerous chastisements from the public. Quote, our kids don't need to be pushed through media, and this is messed up. Just let them be kids, wrote one person. Unfortunately, Crayola is one of the better examples of corporate wokeness in that many other companies continue to market transgenderism to children without shame. Crayola, more than likely seeing dollar signs leave its books, decided it was best to can Gavino for now, since most parents are not interested in seeing him flash across their screen. Disney, on the other hand, continues to proudly groom children via the media, its theme parks, and other forms of programming. The good news is that with each new woke company that comes out of the grooming closet, another space is made for a new company to come along and fill its place, minus all the child grooming. Quote, there is a fantastic opportunity here for entrepreneurs to fill the vacuum that these woke companies are leaving as they alienate their client base, wrote a commenter at the Western Journal. Quote, new companies that are oriented towards traditional societal morality should be springing up all over the place to offer alternative products to a growing market of disgusted consumers who at the very least want to buy products from corporations that are ideologically neutral and are not trying to jam any kind of social or political ideology down their families' throats.
Another wrote that Crayola will go the way of Disney by seeing drops in revenue and degradation of its longtime family name. Quote, I wonder if that parent company authorized or endorsed this, another asked. Hallmark, it turns out, bought Crayola back in 1984, and Crayola has since, quote, played a significant role in Hallmark's personal development strategies, unquote. And this is Lou saying that longtime listeners have heard Elizabeth and me revealing the LGBT truth of Hallmark Christmas movies and more, including Hallmark cards. Now, let's see. Elizabeth, are you next, or do I continue?
I believe that I have something here from the Gateway Pundit. And this is, Biden was fed pills to function during campaign, supervised by Dr. Jill. Before dosing, Biden was like a small child, Tucker Carlson source. This was July 16th from the Gateway Pundit, Kristen Taylor. Joe Biden's cognitive function was so far gone that he was fed pills by staff supervised by his wife, Jill, to be able to function during the 2020 presidential campaign, and still is to this day, according to a report Friday by Fox News Channel host Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson, quote, how did he manage to get through the campaign? Well, it turned out, we learned later, his staff, supervised by Dr. Jill, his wife, was giving him pills before every public appearance, checking the time and at a certain hour, giving him a dose of something. Now, it's not a guess. We're not making that up. We've spoken directly to someone who was there and saw it happen multiple times. Now, before taking the medications, this person said Biden was, quote, like a small child. You could not communicate with him. He changed completely because he was on drugs, and he clearly still is on drugs. Someone's pushing. We don't know what those drugs are. We should know.
All right, I believe I'm up next. And we have, welcome to your police state future. From Natural News, this is by Mike Adams, July 15th. A massive prison barge is currently floating in the East River of South Bronx near New York City. The barge holds 800 prisoners who are being subjected to chemical assaults, vaccine medical experiments, quote, enhanced restraints, unquote, and other forms of illegal torture and incarceration. The floating barge was likely built as a way for authorities to evade oversight and local laws by claiming to be in waterways rather than on land. This barge, shown in a YouTube video, is the perfect representation of the future of humanity under globalist police state control. These barges are also known as FEMA prison barges and are believed to be used at Gitmo. They are in many ways equivalent to CIA black sites, where prisoners are routinely subjected to torture and enhanced interrogation techniques, despite the illegality of such acts. And now from LifeSite News, Oregon expands assisted suicide to out-of-state visitors. This is by Louis Kanofka, Friday, April 1st, 2022, Dateline Salem, Oregon. The state of Oregon just dropped its residency requirement for assisted suicide, allowing non-Oregonians to come to the Beaver State to end their lives. On March 28th, the state agreed to stop enforcing its current residency requirements after a federal lawsuit was filed. The Oregon Health Authority has also declared it will draft a bill to repeal the requirement altogether. The lawsuit was filed by Compassion and Choices, an assisted suicide lobby group. The group represented Nicholas Gideons, a doctor in Oregon who wished to prescribe lethal drugs for people in neighboring Washington State. And I think we go to you now, Elizabeth.
And we have from National File, and this is Frankie Stokes, Uganda will harvest the DNA of its citizens under National ID program. The Eastern African nation of Uganda is announcing plans to begin harvesting and tracking the DNA and biometric data of its citizens under an updated version of the country's National ID program, which will see genetic information added to the ID cards that Ugandans are legally required to obtain. Uganda began its National ID program in 2014, giving the cards a 10-year lifespan before they reach expiration. Under plans recently announced by the nation's government, when cards start expiring in 2024, Uganda will begin to harvest the DNA of its citizens for use in the revamped National ID program. Though it isn't clear exactly how the government plans to extract the DNA from its citizens. In addition to information on Ugandans' DNA profiles, the updated ID cards will feature biometric data and fingerprints, as well as information gathered from the eyes of Ugandan citizens using scan technology. All this, the government says, will help speed up the identity verification process at government offices and administrative centers, as well as assist law enforcement in their investigations. The cards are also digitized, giving the government instant access to citizens' information via a massive national catalog. All Ugandans over the age of 18 are legally required to obtain the ID cards and must carry them on their person to fully function within their society. Information obtained from the Ugandan embassy in the United States confirms that, quote, every citizen is required to register in their respective place of birth or residence to enable the process of information gathering. Those who don't oblige to the government's mission, or they shouldn't have that too there, those who don't oblige the government's mission of, quote, information gathering will be unable to, quote, transact business, according to Ugandan Foreign Affairs Minister General J.G. Odongo.
And here we have 80% of parents express concern about safety of COVID shots for young children, according to a poll. This was from the LifeSite News. It's by Dr. Paul Elias Alexander, dated Friday, July 29, 2022. And the subheadline says the vast majority of parents surveyed said that owing to safety concerns, they would not immediately have their young child vaccinated against COVID-19. A National Health Organization survey on COVID vaccination in young children found that 43% of parents with children under 5 years old said they will definitely not have their child jabbed against the coronavirus.
Good news. Good news, Lou.
Yes, very good news. The Kaiser Family Foundation COVID-19 Vaccine Monitor Survey spells huge trouble for Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla and Moderna CEO Stefan Bancel. For public health officials, Anthony Fauci, Francis Collins, and Rochelle Walensky, the malfeasance galore.
But don't hold your breath. We have read now that I believe Rand Paul is going to chair a committee on looking into the gain of function. Well, my goodness, that's as old news as Durham's report, the Durham investigation. Have we ever heard anything from it?
Not much.
It disappeared down the memory hole. So we don't have these courageous figures who are going to call for indictments and a true investigation. You know, Stu Peters has said that these people should be found and they should be lined up and there should be a firing squad. You know, I said to you, when we look at the VAERS reporting system, and we now know that it's a voluntary system, you and I didn't realize that, but only 1% of the true cases of injuries and deaths from the COVID shots probably goes into it. So now it's running around 29,000 so-called deaths. And if we take 100 times that 1%, we are now getting close to 3 million. It would be something like 2,900,000 cases of death from the COVID shots. And if you think about that, that's about like one in every 350 Americans not got injured, but died. It is shocking. But go ahead, Lou.
Now, next, maybe the image of Chief Justice John Roberts as the John Wayne type riding on a white horse as a hero, maybe that image isn't quite the real picture. From Lifeside News, reports suggest Roberts pushed justices to keep Roe, but leaked opinion undermined his efforts.
Mm.
While the investigation into the leaker's identity appears to have hit a stone wall, the CNN article has renewed speculation, largely on the left, that the leaker may have been conservative instead of a leftist staffer, bent on intimidating the pro-life court. This is by Ashley Sadler, Wednesday, July 27, 2022. U.S. Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts had attempted to lobby fellow conservatives on the court not to overturn Roe v. Wade, but was stymied by the leaked draft that indicated the justices were poised to roll back the 1973 decision, a recent CNN report suggested. According to an exclusive Tuesday report by CNN legal analyst and Supreme Court biographer Joan Biskupic, multiple unnamed sources told the outlet that Justice Roberts, a sometimes conservative swing vote on the nation's highest court, had spent months trying to push the other conservative justices not to overturn Roe v. Wade in the crucial Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization case. Chief Justice John Roberts privately lobbied his fellow conservatives to save the right to abortion until the end. An unprecedented leak sealed its fate.
And next up from LifeSite News, July 21st by Kennedy Hall, Prince Harry's pro-abortion UN speech highlights population control ideology present in royal family. About halfway through the speech, Prince Harry, revealed the real heart of his intentions and how he planned to use the legacy of Mandela, that's Nelson Mandela, to promote his agenda. Within about 40 seconds, he jumped from, quote, a pandemic that continues to ravage, end of quote, the world, to, quote, climate change wreaking havoc on our planet, end of quote, and finally the, quote, rolling back of constitutional rights, end of quote, in the United States that constitutes, quote, a global assault on democracy. We all know what he is referring to when he mentions a constitutional event in America. He is talking about the happy overturning of Roe v. Wade, which ended the illusion that destroying unborn children was somehow a constitutional right. In 1967, the Queen gave, quote, royal assent to the Abortion Act, which okayed abortion in England up until 28 weeks gestation. England has since killed upwards of 10 million unborn children. Royal population control. Freemasonry offers a, quote, naturalistic universal religion, end of quote, which is to say a worldview that allows for a divine creator, but then sees the world through a more naturalist or materialist lens. This type of worldview facilitates a type of natural pantheism where there is not a clear distinction between the value of a human person and the natural world. In the 1960s and 70s, Philip, that's Prince Philip, began to show his Freemasonic beliefs as he began to decry what he viewed as all sorts of environmental issues. In 1972, he spoke of his concern that a, quote, catastrophe was on the horizon, citing, quote, overpopulation, environmental pollution, end of quote, and more. In 1988, Prince Philip seemed to take his pantheist leanings all the way and joked, sort of, about reincarnating as a, quote, deadly virus to contribute something to solving overpopulation. Some things skip a generation in families, but Prince Philip's royal assent to the Freemasonic-friendly worldview of population control only intensified with his son and then grandson. His son, Prince Charles, the Prince of Wales, has been adamant that, quote, the traditional attitude to the sacred nature of life, end of quote, is to blame for overpopulation, and unless widespread abortion and birth control are accepted, then the, quote, poor planet will not be able to sustain us all. Charles's eldest son, Prince William, has expressed his population control views. Notably, in 2017 and 2021, he essentially blamed Africans for having too many kids, opining that by doing so, they endangered the wildlife of the continent. Prince Harry worries deeply about, quote, Mother Nature, having suggested that the alleged pandemic was a response to treating her poorly.
Who's really being treated poorly? Not Mother Earth, as deluded Prince Harry thinks. Americans are waiting in bread lines to feed their families at food banks across the country to survive Biden's inflation nightmare. This is from the Gateway Pundit by Alicia Powell, July 29th. Americans are struggling to afford basic necessities as the Biden administration continues to implement policies to destroy the country. The price of food has soared to a 40-year high. The food price index increased by 10.8% in 2022, the largest 12-month percentage increase since 1980, according to the Consumer Price Index report from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Cereal is 15% more expensive than it was a year ago. The price of chicken has risen by 17.4%, the largest increase ever recorded. The price of eggs has increased by 33%. Pork prices increased 13.3%. Bacon, 15%. Milk, 15.9%. Coffee, 15.3%. And fruits and vegetables, 8.2%. Food away from home at restaurants increased by 7.4%. Food banks are suddenly overwhelmed with providing relief for impoverished families, as a growing number of Americans wait in long lines outside of the food relief organizations seeking respite from the exploding costs of groceries and supplies. In Boise, Idaho, the number of meals served to families in need has doubled over the past year. Meridian Food Bank Executive Director Dan Clark said they went from, quote, serving about 2,800 people each month to 4,200 in 1 year. KTV B7 reports.
Another food bank, 15 miles away, Carehouse Food Bank, has reported a similar increase. During the COVID-19 lockdowns, people were less reliant on food banks while receiving food through government programs like Farmers to Families. But those programs are over. Carehouse Food Bank spokesperson Tony Johnson told the publication, quote, we're finding out with that, with the rising rent costs and the rising gasoline costs, The rent eats first. The gasoline eats second, Johnson said. So the family has very little to buy food to eat. Food banks in Allentown, Pennsylvania, are seeing a reported 20% increase in the number of people in need of free food. Since October, we've tripled the number of families we're serving every month, Executive Director of Allentown Area Ecumenical Food Bank Ann Egan told WFMZ. Approximately 300 of the 1,800 families she served this month are first-timers, she added. In Phoenix, Arizona, on a daily basis, hundreds of families have resorted to waiting in long lines outside of St. Mary's Food Bank to receive food. Quote, the Phoenix Food Bank's main distribution center doled out food packages to 4,271 families during the third week in June, a 78% increase over the 2,396 families served during the same week last year. The AP reports, citing St. Mary's spokesman Jerry Brown. More than 900 families line up at the distribution center every weekday for an emergency government food box stuffed with goods such as canned beans, peanut butter, and rice, said Brown. More from the AP. Distribution by the Alameda County Community Food Bank in Northern California has ticked up since hitting a pandemic low at the beginning of this year, increasing from 890 households served on the third Friday in January to 1,410 households on the third Friday in June, said Marketing Director Michael Atfest. At the Houston Food Bank, the largest food bank in the U.S., where food distribution levels earlier in the pandemic briefly peaked at a staggering 1 million pounds a day, an average of 610,000 pounds is now being given out daily.
That's up from above 500,000 pounds a day before the pandemic, said spokeswoman Paula Murphy. Meanwhile, the cost of commuting to work by car has nearly doubled as gas prices remain at all-time record highs. The price of a gallon of regular gas reached $5.11 a gallon in June and currently stands at $4.35 a gallon. This is more than 20 cents higher than during any other presidency in U.S. history. As Americans penny pinch to feed their families, the Biden regime is using billions of taxpayer dollars to combat climate change and promote transgenderism for children. Earlier this month, Biden announced he will use executive powers to combat a, quote, climate emergency, unquote, which will require a $2.3 billion investment from FEMA to help make communities more resilient during extreme heat waves. The Democrat administration's policies are facilitating the globalist Great Reset agenda, touted by the World Economic Forum and the United Nations. The globalist organization that endeavors to transform the world so that the average person will, quote, own nothing, unquote, published an article on July 11th warning gas prices must increase to propel society to transition to green energy. Another article published by the globalist organization on July 18th warns private ownership of cars must be eliminated to decrease mass reliance on critical metals. The United Nations World Health Organization has also published content heralding the, quote, benefits of world hunger, unquote. The United Nations scrubbed this article heralding the benefits of world hunger from its website after it went viral. And now we have some shocks / secrets. Last week we reported on news of the energy and food takedown. The London, Ontario facility, revved up to produce billions of cricket meals for all of us, along with lab-cultured meat, are abominable. We also noted that wind power from turbines was failing Texas as its power grid was pushed to the brink of collapse in July. And here's another atrocity from WorldNet Daily, by Richard Moorhead, originally from the Western Journal. Wind energy company to pay $35 million after mass killing of bald eagles. Published
Isn't that our national bird?
It sure is, yes.
I was thrilled. A couple years ago, you weren't home then, and I looked out, and the farmer next to us had a lot of hay bales in the field, and there was a bald eagle right on the top of one of the bales, the first and only one I've ever seen.
I don't know that I've ever seen one.
Now, that was really pretty neat.
At least not that I know
about. But now, let's get back to this. These poor birds.
Yes, the dark side of green energy has taken an un-American twist. A renewable energy company that operates wind turbines throughout the United States pled guilty to killing 150 protected eagles in federal court on Tuesday. ESI Energy, LLC, admitted to three violations of the Migratory Bird Treaty Act in its plea, naming killing bald and golden eagles through the operation of wind energy turbines in New Mexico and Wyoming. The birds died of blunt force trauma after colliding with wind turbine blades at the Green Energy Farms. In a settlement with the government, ESI further admitted to killing 150 bald and golden eagles with its wind turbines across the country since 2012. Of those 150 deaths, 92 protected eagles were killed at ESI wind farms in California, according to U.S. Attorney Philip A. Talbert for the Eastern District of California. ESI was sentenced to pay $1,861,600 in fines and $6,211,000 in restitution. The company agreed to pay up to an additional $27 million for an eagle management plan at its facilities to prevent further deaths of protected birds.
Edward Grace, Assistant Director of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's Office of Law Enforcement, criticized ESI for refusing to work with the service, even as America's national birds were killed at its turbine farms for years. Quote, this agreement holds ESI and its affiliates accountable for years of unwillingness to work cooperatively with the service and their blatant disregard of wildlife laws, and finally marks a path forward for the benefit of eagles and other wildlife resources entrusted by the service's stewardship, said Grace. The bald eagle was delisted as an endangered species in 2007, with conservation measures succeeding in restoring much of its historic populations throughout the U.S. Killing bald eagles has been illegal under the Migratory Bird Treaty Act since 1918. ESI was required by law to seek eagle take permits for each bird it killed under the law, a legal process the company declined to take. ETPs would have required ESI to mitigate the hazards to eagles at each of its facilities. In a statement provided to NPR, the president of EST's parent company criticized the federal government for prosecuting the wind company's killing of eagles. We disagree with the government's underlying enforcement activity, said NextEra's Rebecca Kujawa. Building any structure, driving any vehicle, or flying any airplane carries with it a possibility that accidental eagle and other bird collisions may occur.
We are not much better than the bald eagles. Our leaders despise us. Gateway Pundit and Jim Hoff reported this July 22nd. Joe Biden is crushing the U.S. middle class. That was his plan all along. Today, Biden Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm cheered the price of gasoline and electricity in America. Granholm says, quote, we're witnessing the beginning of one of the most significant events in human history. It can't progress fast enough, unquote. These people do not care about the suffering of fellow Americans. These people are evil. Now from the Epoch Times. Dutch dairy farmer faces having to cull 95% of his cows. And he says, I can't run a farm on 5%. This was, as I said, from the Epoch Times by Nathan Worcester, July 13th, 2022.
Yes, Lou, this takedown of energy and food, it's worldwide. It is under the global reset. Go ahead.
Yes, that's exactly right. In the Netherlands, dairy farmer Martin Nepellenbroek is near the end of the line. New environmental regulations will require him to slash his livestock numbers by 95%. He thinks he will have to sell his family farm. He said in his July 7th interview with the Epoch Times, I can't run a farm on 5%. For me, it's over and done with. In view of the regulations, I can't sell it to anybody. Nobody wants to buy it. But the government wants to buy it. And that's why they have those regulations, I think.
Yes. Did you say the... what was your last sentence there, Lou? I want to think about that again.
Yes, this was a quote. In view of the regulations, I can't sell it to anybody. Nobody wants to buy it. But the government wants to buy it. And that's why they have those regulations, I think.
Interesting. Okay. Do you have anything more on the farmers in the Netherlands?
Yes. I have some other remarks. Oh, excuse me. Nepal Brook made the remarks while speaking with Roman Balmakoff, host of Facts Matter on Epic TV, during Balmakoff's recent trip to the Netherlands. Nepalenbroek pointed out that not all farmers are required to get rid of so many of their cattle. People living further from areas protected under Natura 2000, a European Union EU agreement for species and habitat preservation, can own more cattle. But now, Nepalenbroek's 70-acre-plus property is home to roughly 130 milking cows. It's been in his family for half a century. He said, I'm the second generation, adding that many farms in the Netherlands have been in families for much longer. That's because the Dutch government's regulation on nitrogen oxides and ammonia emissions are tied to sites' proximity to those protected areas. Farmers, truckers, and others across the Netherlands have led nationwide protests against that vision, partly spurred by a June 10th national and area-specific plan for curtailing nitrogen greenhouse gas emissions. There's a sort of Damocles hanging over them, the possibility of compulsory seizure of property by the government. NOS News, I guess it's pronounced N-I-E-U-W-S, reported that Christiane van der Waal, the country's Minister of Nature and Nitrogen Policy, has not ruled out expropriating land from uncooperative farmers. According to a report from the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Foreign Agriculture Service, the Dutch government has said his approach means, quote, there is not a future for all Dutch farmers, unquote.
And I'll interrupt to say, yes, also for the Dutch farmers, compliance with this June 10th plan would mean choosing extensive over intensive farming with huge loss of income, or selling farms that have been in families for several generations. That one man you mentioned, I think it had been in there for a long, long time. And one young farmer said, you know, the perspective of getting 1.1 million euros for his plot of land might sound good, but the one-time income would be taxable, and he would lose the job he loves and has been trained for. And so these farmers, there were 40,000 of them who drove to Stro, a small town east of Amsterdam, blocking the clogged highways with their tractors, and they were gathering in the field with their horns blowing and lights flashing. And one said, you can't just close farms that are hundreds of years old. You just can't. So we're really watching this happen. And now WorldNet Daily says, it has an article, the green globalist elites will make serfs of us all. So I think that we'll read part of this by Laura Hollis. She explained how societies are returning to oppressive landowner-tenant systems of old. What do you call an economic system where a relative few individuals own all the land, and most of the people who live on that land do so at the sufferance of the landowner? It's feudalism. This was the economic system in most of Europe during the Middle Ages. The vast majority of the population was born into, lived, and died in poverty. There was little hope for upward mobility unless one opted for a career in military service or the clergy. And then she goes on to tell about how the rise of the guild systems in Northern Europe brought about changes because people could be apprenticed to become merchants and artisans, and a middle class grew. And in Russia, this all lagged behind. They didn't have this, so this laid the groundwork for Karl Marx's writings.
Russia's failure to include its poorer citizens in the advances of industrialization was among the driving forces behind the revolutions that would thrust Russia into communism for the next 70-plus years. America's trajectory has been quite different. Our country was founded by men of faith with knowledge of history, politics, and economics. We rejected monarchy and nobility. Our founding documents incorporate principles of universal human dignity and individual rights that not only formed the basis for a Republican government elected by the people, but also supported the notion of free enterprise. Unlike Russia, and plenty of other countries, where capitalism and the means of production have been controlled by a small group of wealthy people who use that political power to limit access to others, the United States has had a system of entrepreneurial capitalism. Anyone, even non-citizens, could come here and start their own business. And millions have. America's system of entrepreneurial capitalism has been the breeding ground for the American dream. It has done for this country what the guild system did for Northern Europe, and then some. It has spawned unprecedented innovation, facilitated the creation and distribution of wealth, transformed the law of business enterprise, and the widespread use of corporations, made investment and ownership of property and land accessible to the average person, and launched America's middle, upper middle, and even upper classes.
And I think we'll interrupt there a little later in the article. We learn from this writer, China owns more than $2 billion in U.S. farmland. Microsoft founder and billionaire Bill Gates is now the largest private owner of farmland in the United States, with more than 270,000 acres. Just this month, he acquired another 2,100 acres of farmland in North Dakota. The purchase was originally blocked, but the state's attorney general ultimately permitted the sale to go through because the farmland, quote, will be leased back to farmers, end of quote. Owning land is quite different from leasing it. A lease is just a contract. Contract terms can be changed, and contracts can be breached, at which point the non-breaching party must bring a lawsuit for enforcement, assuming that he or she can even afford to do so. Imagine a tenant farmer going up against the attorneys Gates can afford to pay. In other words, you're on the land at the sufferance of the landowner. Sound familiar? Gates is an active member of the World Economic Forum and a zealous advocate of their so-called green policies to avert, quote, climate change disasters. Gates is pushing for wealthy countries to move to eating, quote, synthetic meat, and he is unsurprisingly a major investor in the companies that would produce it. Of course, if plasta beef isn't your thing, his climate change compadres insist that we eat bugs. And this is without mentioning the push to end private ownership of cars and depopulate suburbs with their single-family homes and green yards, forcing the public into densely populated concrete high-rises and onto public transportation. But will Gates and company live this way? You're joking. They'll still have their multiple homes, their yachts, their chauffeured limousines, private jets, and their meals of Wagyu beef. They will be able to afford everything because they will own everything. Don't take my word for it. In 2016, the WEF, that's the World Economic Forum, posted a video on Facebook and Twitter titled Eight Predictions for 2030. The video states, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. Whatever you want, you'll rent. And it will be delivered by a drone. Translation, we'll own everything and you'll be a serf. Very wise words from Laura Hollis. And I think now we're going to move right on to that story we picked up about the food, the terrible, we had the cultured meat, and now we're going to learn something else, Lou, aren't we? Give us the intro.
That's right. And yes, they want to own your food. As we've been telling you. Now there's CRISPR. And no, it's not crispy bacon. You thought wrong. It's one more food bioweapon out of the FDA Frankenfood lineup. From Great Game India, FDA says CRISPR, gene-edited cattle, safe for human consumption. Cattle created using CRISPR gene editing produced by Exeligen have been declared safe for human consumption by the FDA. The United States Food and Drug Administration has ruled that short-haired cattle created using CRISPR gene editing technology are safe to eat. The PRLR slick calves were the first to earn an FDA, quote, low-risk determination for enforcement discretion, unquote, after the agency found that the two genome-edited bovines, intentional genomic alteration, IGA, does not pose any safety risks. The cows, developed by Exeligen with climate change in mind, have a genetic feature that gives them a short, sleek coat that is supposed to assist the animals in coping better with hot temperatures. Because of the FDA's low-risk decision, Exeligen, a, quote, precision breeding, unquote, company, is unlikely to seek regulatory permission before releasing cattle products.
The FDA took years to evaluate the two other genetically modified animals allowed for human consumption, a faster-growing salmon and a pig that the agency found was safe for those with meat allergies to eat. The FDA highlighted that gene editing results in the same slick hair feature seen in cattle in conventional agriculture. Therefore, the review process for the CRISPR beef cattle took less than a year. Are we surprised? Stephen Solomon, director of the FDA Center for Veterinary Medicine, remarked of the approval on March 7, 2022, quote, "We expect that our decision will encourage other developers to bring animal biotechnology products forward for the FDA's risk determination in its rapidly developing field, paving the way for animals containing low-risk IGAs, intentional genomic alterations, to move efficiently, to more efficiently reach the marketplace." He's just saying they're going to speed up the process. According to the company website, the majority of Exeligen's employees have agricultural backgrounds. Precision breeding, according to the company, differs from conventional breeding and genetically modified organisms in that it permits a highly desired trait to be produced in just one breeding cycle as opposed to years.
Exeligen, a Recombinetics Incorporated firm, stated in 2020 that it had obtained a $3.68 million grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to create bovine genetics with desirable qualities for smallholder dairy farmers in SSA dairy systems. A suite of traits from the breeding program's discovery pipeline will be introduced into commercially relevant dairy animals, quote, with high genetic merit for production and durability, unquote. The grant's project lead, Tad Sonstegard, CEO of Exeligen, stated of the endeavor, "When we combine gene editing with top merit animals using advanced reproductive technologies from our partners, Curon in Argentina and Transova Genetics in Sioux City, Iowa, we can make significant genetic improvement for well-adapted, high-yielding dairy cows. Our goal is to get these animals into the hands of smallholder farmers." Unquote. CRISPR has been used to create disease-resistant chickens and pigs, as well as mosquitoes that are unable to bite or produce eggs, according to researchers. They're also working on a number of projects, such as developing disease-resistant crops, such as grapes for winemaking. They are also working on genetically modifying pigs so that their organs can be transplanted into people. Research is underway to bring extinct species like the passenger pigeon back to life by altering the genes of certain birds. I'll interject, that sounds like Jurassic Park. And back to the article, a 57-year-old man was on the verge of death when he received a genetically altered pig heart in January, the first between-species transplant that had been hailed as a success through xenotransplantation, the technique of transporting tissues between species. The individual, however, began to deteriorate roughly 40 days after the transplant, and he died 2 months later.
No obvious cause identified at the time of his death, the hospital said at first. Despite this, the patient's heart was infected with a pig virus. According to MIT Technology Review on May 4th, MIT wrote on the complex process, "The biggest obstacle to animal organ transplants is the human immune system, which ferociously attacks foreign cells in a process called rejection." And so they go on about that, things that they can do to minimize rejection. CRISPR-based therapies, which garnered considerable support from Bill Gates and others several years ago, are expected to be utilized to cure inherited disorders in the future. According to Scientific America, the first clinical experiments injecting CRISPR directly into living humans began in 2020 with the goal of correcting a genetic abnormality that causes blindness. While CRISPR, quote, reliably cuts DNA where we want it to, new research has proven it can also alter genes that aren't on the target list. Ding, ding, ding. That's a red flag, isn't it, Lou?
Absolutely.
Even if we could get it to operate consistently, several experts have raised ethical concerns about utilizing the technology for eugenics. Are we surprised? And, quote, designer babies. As SA points out, if one day parents can pay scientists to edit their baby's DNA to make them stronger and smarter, CRISPR might make the world even more unequal and prejudiced, SA said. SA claims that considering the risks of modifying the human genome, researchers are still a long way from using CRISPR in medicine on a large scale, adding, CRISPR has given science a tool to reliably tinker with the code of life, but the question remains, can we do so safely and ethically while avoiding the unintended consequences of such power? There is no definite timeline for when CRISPR cow beef will be available in U.S. supermarkets, but it might be as soon as 2 years. It's also uncertain whether the meat from gene-edited cows will be labeled differently from regular beef. This is a story that's going to have to be watched very closely and followed up upon. And now some headlines coming up. U.S.-funded bioweapons labs in Ukraine were tampering with bat coronaviruses. Former Canadian general captured in Ukraine by Russian forces was in charge of bioweapons laboratory. Russian claim Democrats Soros and Gates set up Ukraine biolabs to make money for elections. Exposed, Pentagon conducted deadly biological weapons experiments on Allied soldiers in Ukraine and Georgia. There's just so much going on, and we can't get to all of it tonight. But it is important that you know we're trying to bring you the truth. We all recall that illegal war, the Iraq war. They used propaganda saying that Saddam had gone in into Kuwait's nurseries, in the hospitals, the incubators, and harmed those premature babies. That was all a lie. And now in mid-July, the AP had an article. We saw it in a newspaper that supposedly Putin had taken over 900,000 people, herded them, taken them out of Ukraine to Russia. That smacks of just the same kind of strange, strange population control kind of lie. So what we have actually heard in the alternative news that Putin has been very careful to not harm all of the people as much as possible, and he's probably going to win out in Donbass. He is against the New World Order. We have to admit that. He chased the Rothschilds banking system out of his country. So he is trying to protect Christianity, it looks like, no LGBTQ morass like we have. If you like this program and you want to keep us on the air, please help us. Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. God bless you and have a great week. Good night.